Your perfect plan. I have ears that hear. I have eyes that see. I have a spirit that perceives. What you're speaking will have an effect in me. Because that's what you're all about. Changing me. Healing me. Setting me free. So that I can be me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how he's going to prepare us for what's coming next. But there's a lot of war games going on right now in so many places. And the Holy Spirit is really trying to awaken us to how he is preparing for the truth of the maturity of men and women. And maturing us is not necessarily a comfortable thing. And I was having a discussion with someone about what the difference is between those who do certain things, go certain ways, and recognizing his plan. So let's go to the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at chapter 5. Now, Jesus is the high priest, correct?
Yes.
He's sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then, the writer to the Hebrews is speaking about, in chapter 4, he says in verse 7, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." You're given free will every step of the way.
Choice.
Okay? You have the right to harden your heart and say, I don't really want to hear what's going on right now. Or you can open it up and let the information start breaking you down and breaking you forward. Chapter 5, verse 1, every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So in other words, your weaknesses and your difficulties are part of the talents that God will use to set other people free, because you'll understand them. You'll have a compassionate heart towards them because of your own broken past. So your broken past is not a mistake. My conversation with one the other day was, did you ask God why you were born in that house? And a person said, well, you know, I never thought about it. I said, well, God put you there. You said yes, because it was a book that was written in heaven about you. And we all agree to that. You know, there is a plan of God. God knows the plans. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for you. Well, if you don't know God, you'll never know his plan.
Amen.
Now, if I was Bob Arnold and the Lord would have told me, you're going to go to some nursing home and you're going to minister to the people there that are more broken than you are, I would have said, cancel the plans, God. Right or wrong?
Absolutely.
Cancel the plans. I don't want to go. St. Paul writes from the prison in Rome. And he's writing to the Ephesians. He's writing to the Galatians. He's writing to all of the different ones, Timothy, etc., etc., and you can go on and on. Would those letters ever have been written if Paul kept going in his Monte Carlo? Well, no. And you know what? Paul is resentful because he can't go, so he's writing letters. Papa in the heavens is saying, those letters are going to feed the generation 2,000 years from now. Amen. Your skinny brain is about you. Amen. Holy Ghost plan is about eternity. And we are so focused on me, myself, and I in this particular moment that we miss the mark. Okay? Verse 3. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. Verse 4. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God. Called by God. Just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, God said to me, God said to Bob, fill in the blanks. You are my son, today I have become your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Slight pause over here. 1979, I believe. My wife's girlfriend and her say, we heard about this little church in Forest Park. Do you want to come, Kim? So I said, well, when are you guys going? Oh, such and such a night. Yeah, sure. So I hopped in the back seat and off we went to my introduction to Gino Ruffo. You know, it was wild. He had a word of knowledge for Irene. He had a word of knowledge for me. I forgot what it was. And one for the lady that was driving us there. A few weeks later, when we had an opportunity to go back, we found out that they had moved into the big cathedral. And he was pressed of the Lord to call me forward. There was about maybe, I don't know, 70, 80 people in that big cathedral. And he anointed me with oil, and I went under the power of the Holy Ghost. And these words were spoken over me. I had never had words that would plague me such as these words. And his team wanted to lay hands on me because I was on the floor for a long time. He pushed them all away and he said, God's doing something. He's going to do something in this man, meaning me. Now, I heard the words, but I couldn't react. That was God's initiation of something in me that would be able to mature because of my willingness. When the scripture says God knows your heart, he also has that ability to download the information you need when you need it. Okay? And when he does, it's going to awaken something inside of you. I spoke to someone a couple days ago that has been going through a big trial. And their particular occupation was one at one time that was really a dream in their hearts. But because of what happened in the past few weeks, they have learned that what they're doing is boring. So how did it go from a dream to your heart to boring? Because now Holy Spirit has impacted something, and there's an awareness of a higher calling that's coming into that individual. Now that higher calling is going to plague that person by the Holy Ghost until they make a quality decision to say yes or no. And God will respect your yes, and he'll respect your no. Verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. You say Jesus suffered?
Yes. Ouch.
This was not the cross that he's speaking of. This was the day-to-day headaches. And once made perfect, Jesus was once made perfect, meaning he was not at his beginning in a perfect state. So you better digest that. If he was once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation, it means he didn't have it at the beginning. You and I have had things at our beginnings, but our walk is to go higher and to become mature and to be perfected by his Holy Ghost the same way Jesus was. His perfecting process is going to be in increments, piece by piece by piece, because he's got an eternal plan. And that eternal plan is bigger than what you realize at the moment. Once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There's an order, and there's a process. And then there's progress.
In the process.
In the process. And it's uncomfortable.
Amen.
It is. I mean, don't let anybody kid you. When Bob was in that place, there were many times, you know, I'd come out of there and the tears are rolling out of my eyes and I'm saying, Lord, what's wrong with me? And he said, you're feeling sorry for yourself. Or there's too much of the emotions. I know what I'm doing with Bob. But Kim wanted to help Bob out. And I mean out, out. Get him out of there. But it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't Peggy's plan. It was the Lord's plan to put him there for his own purpose and for the people that he wanted to minister to. And it didn't matter how many numbers. He was a majority of one. One man in one place in the corner of a room can do things that no one else could do. And we would say, boy, that's boring. See, I'm asking you and I today, and I'm including myself, you and I today to awaken to the fact that there's an ultimate goal in who we are. And it's an eternal goal. And that goal is not for me and you to feel sorry about ourselves, but to really trust that he has an ultimate plan to take us and mature us. Watch verse 11. Warning against falling away. Why does it have to be a warning? We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Welcome to the club, right? In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God. Put a circle around elementary truth. of God and His Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Really? Really? Did you see the distinguishing? The discernment of spirits is involved here. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Progression. Not laying again the foundations of repentance, but from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment. Those are basics. And you think you're all grown up? So much for your thinking. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gifts, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Why? Because they're usually filled with pride. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the sons of God all over again, subjecting him to public disgrace. Now, I don't want to go any further than that, but I'm trying to make you aware that when you think you're at the finish line, and this word is telling you how at the bottom of the shelf you really are, how much more God wants to release His Spirit in us, how much more He wants to download His purpose for us. And yet, we have this natural tendency to be satisfied where we are, to be comfortable where we are. And the Lord is saying, I'm taking your comfort zone and I'm just throwing it up in the air, and you're going to be the one that's going to make the decision. Do you want to go higher? Do you want to mature? Do you want to see things in the realm of the Spirit? Do you want to be obedient to what I show you? Etc., etc. See, God chose to put each and every one of us in this realm for a season. It is not the ultimate goal. We talked about Tuesday, about we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by God's angels. Okay? They're doing a job in us. Why? Because the purposes of God have got to go forward. Okay? And it's not all about my comfort zone. But it is about how much do I really press in towards Him, and how much more He wants to develop us and make us like His firstborn. If the firstborn learned obedience through what he suffered, see, if he could learn, we can learn. Amen?
Amen.
And it's our willingness that says yes. But our soul says, are you out of your mind? You know, it really does. Well, do you want another level of more pressure, more pain, more rejection? Because some of it does feel like pain, rejection, and so on. And you know, this is me now. When Bob first went to the nursing home, my brain said, oh, Lord, are you going to, you know, set him free? Are you going to, you know, have us anoint him at some point and just let him come back to the fullness of what he was? And I'll tell you, I know I'm not the only one that had those thoughts. Wouldn't those be godly thoughts?
Mm-hmm. They sound very godly.
Yeah, you would think they were.
See, we would all think they are God. It's the knowledge of good. And the knowledge of evil is the demonic tree. That's part of knowledge. Not the word of knowledge now. The knowledge of good, the knowledge of evil is the demonic tree. But you don't think that way because your emotions match. Well, let's get a big bottle of oil. Let's just literally dump it on Bob. Come on. Yes? Give him a bath in it.
Sure.
Then he's going to come back to life and I'll have my old Bob back. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be, you know, would be cool, right? One quick bath. We got Bob back. We got John back.
Well, I didn't want the old John back.
No, because you learned. Okay.
I want the new one back, not the old one.
But the new one is with Papa.
Yeah.
Which is so much better.
Yeah.
Because now he has total freedom along with Bob. So, you see, that's why I call it the skinny brain. Because it is so focused on me, myself, and I that it doesn't have a second opinion. It really wants to hold on to what I want, when I want it, and we don't perceive it as control. We think it's good stuff.
So the miracle you were asking for when you did that was Bob actually ministering to other people who didn't even know.
Yeah, it's right on. So now, see, you need the revelation from Papa. Okay, what is your best plan for Bob? From the moment he was admitted to the moment that you see the progression of areas that deteriorated. The one thing that I am absolutely convinced, when I would sing with him in the spirit, he would join me. We would sing together. We would pray together in the spirit. And the Holy Ghost would just literally liven him back up. Why? Because we were connecting into the eternal realm, not the natural realm. The natural realm was where we were, but the spirit, we could enter. And we did. Many, many, many times. So what am I saying? There was a sustenance that kept going forward. There was a maturing going on in him, in the inner man. All right? And you had the proof of it at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because you tasted what was prepared for you.
Amen.
Okay? And unless you've had that taste and that experience, just like you did, and you try to explain that to someone who hasn't got the awareness of what's available, you're going to be in a very odd place, and they're going to look at you and say, whoops, something is wrong here. So the ultimate plan of God is to mature each and every one of us. The ultimate plan is out of your difficulties. He will take and lift you up, and he'll give you a view of yourself down the road. He really will. And the important part is, his plan is unfolding. Now close your eyes. Say Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for me.
He's not giving up.
But he's going to mature me.
He's
going to take me higher.
Then
my brain can take me.
Or
that the knowledge of good
of what I perceive to be good.
Good.
Could be coming from hell.
Could be coming from hell.
I need to understand.
I need to comprehend.
I need to have understanding.
I need to have understanding.
So I'm asking for the seven spirits of God
to indwell me,
to download into me every aspect of what he's prepared for me. And I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go, Lord. I'm telling you now that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the knowledge of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord. I welcome them to have full access of my spirit, soul, and body. I don't want to be like I was yesterday.
I want maturity.
I want your purpose to be unfolded as I go forward in the days ahead. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're not done with us, Lord.
And we are grateful
that Bob is not suffering anymore. You can put your Bibles down.